There is so much today that divides us into smaller groups. For some reason, we're bent on sorting, categorizing, and labeling people as if we were organizing files or sorting lab experiments. We don't mean to be, but we're focused on trying to sort out who people are, what they want, and what their motives might be, and seem to feel as if we had enough unique traits linked to someone, we can then decide if they are a part of us or them. If we should serve their needs or our own. This divide isn't new. Take the context for today's scripture. In just 13 verses, we've categorized people into Greeks, Galileans, disciples, those who have been glorified, those who love their lives, and those who don't. Those who serve and those who don't. Those who are dead and those who are alive. So much sorting and categorizing and labeling to do, right? But when taken in the full context of Christ, we'd be way off. Because to sort and define and judge also means we put ourselves in the position of determining those who are worthy and those who are not. And we weren't put on this earth to judge others. That's God's role. If we truly want to follow Jesus, then we understand we were put on this earth to love. So let's just cruise along and live in peace among ourselves then. Except today, we're given a lesson in change. We hate change. Change is painful. Change is miserable. Change challenges us in ways that makes us incredibly uncomfortable. But it's so very necessary. The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Why was this the moment? Why now? Well, it all connects back to the sorting and dividing of people, the actions of Jesus, and two very different ways of seeing what was to be done. There's no doubt Jesus had performed many, many miracles. But the raising of Lazarus really seemed to get to the religious leaders of the day. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. It was the tipping point. Jesus' popularity was growing rapidly. Greeks showed up for Passover. What were these non-Jewish folk doing here? And what was supposed to be done about it? Two main focal points emerged. Those opposed to what Jesus was doing saw only one way to shut it down, and that was to kill him. Those who were becoming fans of Jesus wanted nothing more than to get closer to him, to touch him, to hear his word. But even more fundamental than the outcomes people were seeking were where people were choosing to put their priorities. The religious leaders were seeking to retain patterns and traditions and power they had built for centuries. Followers of Jesus were being taught the only way to enter God's kingdom in the end was to seek to gain the opportunity to serve others in the community. I assure you that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it can only be a single seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Jesus is here foretelling of a death to come on the cross. But not just to highlight his death, also to reflect that in sacrificing everything, Christ was paving the way for God's will to be done. Those who love their lives will lose them, and those who hate their lives in this world will keep them forever. This isn't about self-loathing and misery. This is about the need to love the needs of others higher than loving the needs of ourselves. Author C.S. Lewis said it this way. There are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, "Thy will be done." And those to whom God says in the end, "Thy will be done." All that are in hell choose it. Without that self-choice, there could be no hell. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek, find. Those who knock, it is opened. We say it every week in prayer. Thy will be done. But here, Jesus makes it clear. Whoever serves me must follow me. Wherever I am, there my servant will also be. My Father will honor whoever serves me. And that service ain't easy. That service meant Jesus spent a lot of time lonely in the wilderness. It meant Jesus suffered humiliation and loss. It ultimately meant a painful death on the cross. To serve Jesus means to not hold back and to be willing to make sacrifices of our own individual desires just as strongly to serve the needs of others just as powerfully. Instead of sending and spending our hours sorting and dividing and deciding who others are, we simply serve them. All of them. No matter who they are or where they are in life's journey, we serve them. And when we do, we shouldn't expect lots of pats on the back or adoring cheers from others. The service we give isn't to cause others to give us glory. It's to give all the glory to God. Because when we serve so that God's will shall be done, it's through God that such service is rendered. There are many of us experienced adults who bemoan the younger generations. We cry out that the millennials and Gen Zers in this world only care about themselves and are narcissistic in their views. And yet, the same Gen Xers and baby boomers in this world do exactly the same thing, just in a different way. We pass judgment on the younger generations as entitled. We refuse to learn to find ways we can serve them because we're unwilling to sacrifice our own desires and comforts and pursuits for their needs. How do I know this? I see it every day. I see people who would rather hoard what little they have rather than give it away to others who have even less. I see people who cling tightly to buildings and wording of prayers and which music to sing the way they want, despite that choice keeping younger generations away. People who desperately need to see Jesus in the process. I see people who are unwilling to let their ways, their desires, even their church, to let it die for the sake of God's will, thus denying the potential of much fruit to be born into this world. I see people whose first thought is, how do I make this last long enough to be here during my lifetime the way I want it, ignoring God's will that it be available for generations to come? I don't exclude myself from this either. I've done a lot of reflection this Lenten season and have found that in many ways I have placed material goals of culture ahead of service goals of God. So I'm starting to make some changes that I hope will make a difference. They're small and gentle and gradual, but changes nonetheless. I said to my family on New Year's Eve that I wanted to make 2018 to be a year to look forward to in experiences, in creating memories, in brightening the lives of those around me. To events shared with people that we love and will remember forever. not to buy that new luxury car, not to get the latest tech gadget to play with. So this past week, I made a small choice to change from a credit card I used that earned points and rewards that you could spend for stuff to earn points that can be used for travel. Now, how I use those points is where I will prove out in action that I mean to make experiences more important than the material rewards of this earth. Travel with loved ones to experience and support the preservation of God's creation. Travel to perform service for others. Travel to reach out to those who need the love of Christ in their lives and take their hand and say, "Let me bring you so you can see Jesus." It's not a big thing at all. But our impact is made up of a large number of small things that turn into a big impact. There will be more small choices to come in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead. And I pray that each will be a step closer to making God's will happen here on earth. Will there be hurdles and disappointments and challenges along the way? Absolutely there will. But this morning I was reminded of the words of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. Infinite hope. I will never tell you what to do, nor how you must live your life. That's not my place. I will only ask you to hear the word, to take in the lesson and reflect on what you can change to make that lesson your own reality. The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. How will you glorify Jesus now? In this moment? In this week? In this month? By sacrificing something you cling to for your own comfort to serve someone new? Or by continuing on day after day, hoping that the things that keep you comfortable today last just long enough to get you to your final day here on earth? Will you listen to the pleas of those around you for what they need and serve them, showing them that Christ lives in our world today? Or will you withdraw to those you have deemed as worthy, shutting out those God would have us serve because the time has come to glorify Jesus? Right here.